الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تحسبن الله غافلا عما يعمل الظالمون إنما يؤخرهم ليوم تشخص فيه الأبصار. Respected listeners, today's talk was advertised as Infinite Justice. And undoubtedly, the title itself plays a major role in attracting you to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's been a lot of talk recently about the Qur'an. And Muslims have had to suffer the indignity of non-Muslims lecturing them on the Qur'an itself. We have had political leaders and bookshelf enthusiasts commenting at length and at liberty on the Holy Qur'an, its meanings and its application in today's age and society. So, why don't we turn to the Qur'an itself? And let's hear what the Qur'an says, just part of it. Speaking of justice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says much in the Qur'an in various places, and inshallah we'll try to touch upon a few of these aspects, but I have selected 10 verses of the Qur'an, the final 10 verses of Surah Ibrahim. Very apt and relevant and full of meaning. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, of whom much is said in this particular surah, hence the whole surah has been given the name Ibrahim. The same Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam is widely regarded as being the forefather of both the Arabs and the Jews, of the Semites in general. And he is also regarded as being the spiritual and ideological forefather of all of those who adhere to the Abrahamic faiths of Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And Allah speaks about Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in various verses of the surah. And the final 10 verses of the surah more or less characterize the rest of the surah. And they bring to a conclusion the message of Surah Ibrahim, named after this great forefather, both racial and spiritual, of billions. And surely we can all understand the common message of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and all of those prophets who followed in his footsteps. So these 10 verses, the final 10 verses of Surah Ibrahim, bring to an end, bring to a conclusion, and summarize and represent the message of the whole surah, and indeed the message of many of the prophets alayhi wassalatu wassalam. All of them, in fact. So let's listen to what the Quran says. I'll translate the verses first of all, just a summary translation, and inshallah I'll endeavor to explain each verse in some detail. The very first verse actually begins about justice. Allah reminds us that despite the tyranny and oppression and injustices that may be taking place everywhere, perpetrated by many different people, Allah is not neglectful or unaware. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. And never think Allah as being unaware of what the unjust are doing. He is merely giving them respite till a day in which the eyes will remain fixed, staring in horror. مُهْتِعِينَ مُقْنِعِي رُؤُوسِهِمْ لَا يَرْتَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ طَرْفُهُمْ وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ هَوَاءٌ. They will be rushing forth with their heads raised. Their gaze will not return to them, and their hearts will be empty and void. وَأَنذِرِ النَّاسَ يَوْمَ يَأْتِيهِمُ الْعَذَابُ فَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رَبَّنَا أَخِّرْنَا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ نُجِبْ دَعْوَتَكَ وَنَتَّبِعِ الرُّسُلَ أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُوا أَقْسَمْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَارٍ. And warn mankind of that day in which a punishment shall come to them. Then those who have been tyrannical will say, O our Lord, give us respite till a short term. We will respond to your call. We will accept your invitation. And we will follow the messengers. It will be said to them on that day, Were you not ones who would swear before that you will see no decline? وَسَكَنْتُمْ فِي مَسَاكِنِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ كَيْفَ فَعَلْنَا بِهِمْ وَضَرَبْنَا لَكُمُ الْأَمْثَالِ. And you inhabited the homes of those people who had been sinful and unjust to themselves. And it became clear to you what we did with them. And we struck examples and parables for you. وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. And indeed they have plotted their plot. And with Allah is their plot. And indeed their plot was such that mountains would move thereby. فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعَدِهِ رُسُلَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Therefore do not ever think Allah as being one to fail in His promise to His messengers. Indeed Allah is Almighty, one of retribution. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ وَبَرَّزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. On that day when the earth shall be changed to something other than the earth and the heavens also, and they shall all appear before Allah, the One, the Almighty. وَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُقَرَّنِينَ فِي الْأَصْفَادِ. And on that day you shall see the sinful, you shall see the guilty, linked together in chains. سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانٍ وَتَخْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. Their garments will be of pitch and tar, and fire will cover their faces. لِيَجْزِيَ اللَّهُ كُلَّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. So that Allah may requite and repay every soul for what it has earned. Indeed, Allah is swift in His reckoning. هَذَا بَلَاغٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَاهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَلِيَذَّكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. This is a clear message for mankind, and so that they may be warned thereby, and so that they may know that He is only but one Lord, and so that those who possess intelligence may take heed. These are the final 10 verses of Surah Ibrahim. They speak about many different things, and we really need to study each verse in some detail to be able to grasp and appreciate the message, the culminating message of the Surah, and in fact of the whole of the Quran. Speaking of justice, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. does not consider Allah to be unaware of what the zalimun, of what the unjust and the tyrannical are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is swift in His reckoning, complete in His retribution, and just in His judgment. Infinite Justice, the name offensively given to this campaign against Afghanistan. The term infinite justice belongs exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's prerogative, and Allah will exercise it. Many Muslims look around themselves, especially today in this climate. And many non-Muslims also, people in general, see the injustices being perpetrated in the name of justice. They see tyranny being inflicted upon the poor, meek and weak in the name of ideals and principles. They can see the terror and the pain visited upon many innocent people throughout the world, all in the name of fairness and of self-defense and the protection of rights. The double standards, the hypocrisy, are all very clear. And many Muslims, as well as others, are asking, where is Allah in all of this? Where is Allah's justice? And just as the Muslims during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah were suffering, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam peacefully proclaimed the message of Islam, of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of the futility and the evil of worshipping false gods, idols, and of humans worshipping themselves. He proclaimed this message and raised his voice peacefully, with all tolerance. He wasn't in a position to do otherwise. Many, because of his sincerity, and because this message struck a chord in them, and it carried a resonance, believed in him, embraced Islam, and followed in his footsteps. They were persecuted, they were tortured in Makkah al-Mukarramah. They were not in a position to resist. And during those days when people like Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who believed, and because of his faith, who would be tortured in the midday sun of Arabia, made to lie upon the hot burning sand with a boulder placed upon his chest, and he would be whipped in turn by many of his oppressors, and all along he would be told, renounce your faith and you shall be free. And throughout, Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu would utter Ahad, Ahad, Allah the only one, Allah the only one. Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who in those days suffered such torture that long after, in the safety of al-Madinatul Munawwarah, in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had departed from this dunya, Sayyidina Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiyallahu ta'ala anhu removed his shirt and he showed it to Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He displayed his back to Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar, a strong, sturdy, warrior man in his own right, the leader of the faithful, one who had seen and had participated in so many different battles, merely upon the sight of Sayyidina Khabbab's back, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala and broke into tears and began weeping. And he swore in the name of Allah and said, by Allah, I have never seen such a back in my entire life, because of the crisscrosses and the wounds that had defaced the back of Sayyidina Khabbab, all the result of being punished and tortured in Makkah. There were many of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum who were tortured. Many men, women, they were tortured to death. And in all of that suffering, maybe the question arose somewhere, though we cannot accept that the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum would think like this,
But in that torture and in that pain and in that suffering, Shaytan may cast a whisper that where is Allah? Where is your God? Where is justice for the weak and the oppressed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through him reminded the whole ummah and the whole world that those who practice tyranny will face their justice by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Allah is not neglectful or unaware of what people are doing. There is a wisdom in Allah's dealing. And Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And do not ever consider Allah to be unaware of what the tyrannical ones are doing. Allah may not be punishing them now, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu saw in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Utbah, Shayba, and all of these other Samadid, the mighty ones of Quraysh, who controlled the politics, the economy, and in fact the whole of Meccan society, those who commanded a position of authority and respect in the whole of Arabia, who simply through sheer brute force and through their political and economic policies wished to crush this new religion of Islam and wished to even exterminate the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers who are with him that do not ever consider Allah to be unaware. Allah has his own plan and his timetable, and he shall and he will see it through. And thus Allah says, and do not ever consider Allah to be unaware of what the tyrannical ones are doing. Allah is merely postponing them. Allah is merely giving them respite till a day in which the eyes will remain fixed, staring in terror and horror. Allah has declared to us, and so has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this dunya is for the disbelievers, and the akhirah is for the believers. In one hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the world is a prison for the believers, and a jannah for the disbeliever. Once the Muslim has fixed his gaze on the akhirah, then the suffering of this dunya means nothing. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the one who considered himself to be the most fortunate in the whole world, the most fortunate kafir, he will be dipped momentarily into the fire of Jahannam and instantly removed. And he is the one who considered himself to be the most fortunate, the wealthiest, the one living in the most comfort and luxury. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he who would consider himself the most fortunate from amongst the kuffar and the disbelievers, he will be dipped into the fire of Jahannam and removed instantly. And then it will be asked of him, have you ever known a moment of happiness? And he will say, never by Allah. And then, he, from amongst the Muslims, who considered himself to be the most poor, the poorest, the weakest, the one suffering the most calamities, he will be dipped into the pleasures of Jannah for a moment and removed instantly. And then it will be asked of him, have you ever known a moment of sadness or sorrow? And he will reply, by Allah, never. For the kafir of the dunya, for the mu'min the akhirah. Once Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered the chamber of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he had secluded himself for a month. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after seeking permission and speaking to him, looked around the room. And the words of the hadith the hadith is related by Imam Bukhari, and the one I related before is also related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi and others. The words of the hadith are, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says in that beautiful eloquent Arabic, that I allowed my eyes to gaze and wander throughout the room, and nothing met the eye. It was bare, it was empty. void of carpets, void of decorations on the wall, void of all luxuries, in fact, even empty of items of necessity. And he said, I looked around the room wherein the Prophet ﷺ was seated, and I said, and nothing met the eye except a few utensils and personal needs of the Prophet ﷺ, and he himself was seated only on a mat. I said to him, tears came to my eyes and I wept, and I said, Ya Rasulullah, you are the Prophet of Allah, you are the most beloved to him. The emperors of Rome and the emperors of Persia live in such luxury, and you, O Prophet of Allah, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should you live like this? Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was reclining against the wall, and he suddenly sat upright and in a loud voice said, O fi shakkin anta ibn al-Khattab. He said, O Ibn al-Khattab, are you in doubt? Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought forward and precipitated their luxuries and pleasures for them in the dunya, and for us Allah has reserved our pleasures for us in the akhirah. And that was the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a mu'min believes in that with conviction and certainty, then even when he sees suffering around him, when he suffers himself, when he sees his fellow Muslims suffer, he is consoled by the fact that this suffering is absolutely nothing in comparison to the suffering of the Akhirah. And a lifetime of suffering will be obliterated by a moment of joy in the gardens of bliss. That's if you remain steadfast and firm upon his faith. He is also comforted and consoled by the fact that, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned in numerous hadith, when a Muslim suffers and he is innocent, then Allah does not let his suffering go unaware or in vain. Rather, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمَ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةَ يُشَاقُهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَنْهُ خَطَايَاهُ إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا عَنْهُ خَطَايَاهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, never does a Muslim suffer any misfortune or calamity, not even a thorn that pricks him, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of that suffering, Allah sheds his sins. Even a thorn that pricks him in innocence, Allah Azza wa Jalla sheds his sins. So the mu'min, even though he may suffer or see suffering in his fellow Muslims, he is consoled by the fact and comforted that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that suffering go to waste or go in vain. But his sins are being shed. He is being purified and cleansed. So much so that in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when Allah loves a servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala embroils him in suffering and in calamity. And in each moment, with each suffering, Allah sheds his sins and cleans and purifies him. So much so that when Allah takes his soul, he returns to Allah in the state in which his mother gave him birth. Pure. Ready for Jannah. So the mu'min is consoled by that fact. The mu'min, when he sees suffering, is also comforted by the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he say the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he says, "He who suffers, let him compare his suffering to mine. Let him compare his suffering to that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The mu'min is also comforted by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not unaware or neglectful or ignorant, ma'adallah, of the oppressors and the tyranny that they visit upon the innocent. Allah is fully aware. But what Allah wishes to do is to give them respite, so that if repentance is not decreed in their favour, then they will continue to sin, visit tyranny upon others. They will continue to perpetrate injustices. They will continue to rebel against Allah and His laws, until finally, once they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have amassed a wealth of evidence against themselves in the court of Allah, so that Allah may punish them to the full. Fir'aun was allowed to continue with his injustices. Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl were allowed to continue with their tyranny for a long time, but Allah was not unaware. Allah has His own plan and timetable. So a Muslim is comforted by this fact. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of justice in the very first verse of this final section of Surah Ibrahim, Allah reminds all of those who are suffering, as well as those who are guilty of visiting this suffering upon others and inflicting it upon others, Allah reminds all of us that do not ever consider Allah to be unaware of what the tyrannical ones are doing. He is merely giving them respite and postponing them till a day in which the eyes will remain fixed and staring in terror and fright. Allah turns our attention to the Akhirah, to the day of reckoning and judgment. If we think the pain and suffering of this dunya, if we think the fright, terror and horror of this world are to be feared, then Allah tells us to pause and think about the terror and fear of the Akhirah. And Allah graphically describes for us the state of people, the guilty, on the day of reckoning. Allah says Allah is merely postponing them or giving them respite till a day in which the eyes will remain fixed and staring in horror. The punishment of the day of judgment, the sheer fear, terror and fright will be such that even those who are arrogant, proud, tyrannical, and who considered themselves mighty, invincible, insuperable in the dunya, those who were habitual in their tyrannical oppression of others, those who made it a habit and a custom and a personal trend, in fact a personal quality and second nature characteristic of carrying out tyranny on others and terrorizing others, they will be terrorized to such an extent on the day of reckoning that Allah says their eyes will remain fixed, staring in horror. And not one individual, but all of them amassed in the group, their eyes will remain fixed, staring in horror. مُهْتِعِينَ مُقْنِعِي رُؤُوسَهِمْ. In their confusion, in their bewilderment, they will be rushing forth with their heads raised and their eyes fixed in terror and staring. لَا يَرْتَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ طَرْفُهُمْ. Their gaze will not return to them. They will no longer possess any control over their eyes. وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ هَوَى. And their hearts will be empty. The meaning of their hearts being empty. When a person is suddenly struck by something shocking or frightening, then, as the saying goes, the hearts leap to the throats. Or when a person suffers a blow which is demoralizing and saddening, the heart sinks. In either case, when the heart sinks or in sorrow and sadness, or leaps up to the throat in fright, then there is a vacuum where the heart should be. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَفْئِدَتُهُمْ هَوَىٰ. Not only will they be rushing forward with their heads raised and their eyes fixed, staring in horror, but their hearts will also be empty and void because of the fright and the sheer terror that they will face. Allah addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, وَأَنذِرِ النَّاسِ. And warn mankind of that day in which the punishment will come to them on the day of reckoning. And then those who were sinful, those who were unjust, they will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will say, Rabbana, O our Lord. These were the very same people who in the dunya ridiculed Allah. They mocked Allah. They rejected him, his prophets, and his signs. They rejected his religion. They rejected his revelations. And those who accepted him manipulated his religions. These were the same people who would boast that even God cannot defeat them. These are the very same people who would boastfully announce that we are insuperable. We are invincible. We cannot be vanquished or conquered. We are the mightiest upon the earth. They reject Allah. They mock Him. They deny the people and the servants of Allah their rights, their religions. Yet these very same people, in total humility and submission, will turn to Allah on that day and say, Rabbana, O our Lord. أخرنا إلى أجل قريب. Give us respite. Just for a short while, allow us to go back into the dunya. What will we do? We have learned the error of our ways. We have seen the error of our ways. Give us respite, O our Lord. Allow us to go back into the dunya. What will we do? نُجِبْ دَعْوَتَكَ وَنَتَّبِعِ الرُّسُلِ. We will accept your invitation to your religion, and we will obey and follow the messengers. We have seen the truth, we have seen the light. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept, because iman is in the unseen. Not once they have seen the ghaib, not once they have seen the day of reckoning. And rather than allow them any respite, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them one terrifying answer, thought-provoking answer. أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُوا أَقْسَمْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَافٍ. Are you not the same people who before this would swear, you would actually swear that we will see no decline? وَسَكَنْتُمْ فِي مَسَاكِنِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ. And are you not the same people who lived in the homes, you inhabited the homes of those people who were unjust before you to themselves and who were sinful? وَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ كَيْفَ فَعَلْنَا بِهِمْ وَضَرَبْنَا لَكُمُ الْأَمْثَالِ. And it became clear to you how we punished them or what we did with them. And we struck parables and examples to you. Do we not see the signs that Allah has left throughout the dunya for us to ponder over and to reflect on? The lost civilizations, the ruins of mighty civilizations, people who were mighty in strength, who came and went. Have you not seen the example of the people of Ad? A mighty civilization, powerful, rich, sturdy and strong. As individuals, they were so deceited, they were so fooled by their own strength, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes them as saying in the Quran, وَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. Allah says, as for Ad, the people of Ad, to whom Sayyidina Hud alayhi salatu was sent, as for the people of Ad, they were arrogant upon the earth without just cause. And they said, who is mightier than us in strength? Have they not seen that Allah who created them is mightier than them in strength? And they were rejectful of our signs. Allah has given us the example of the people of Ad. There were many mighty civilizations that came, rose and fell. The Persian Empire, the long-lasting Roman Empire. Before them the Egyptian dynasties, and the Macedonian Empire. There were many throughout the dunya. But it is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing rises in this dunya except that Allah causes its downfall also. Except the word of Allah. On one occasion, in a hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam had a camel, a she camel, whose name was Qaswa. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of it. It was extremely fast. And it was the fastest camel in any race. It would beat all the others. One day, it was undefeated. One day, a young Bedouin came from outside the city of Medina. And a race took place. And he with his young camel beat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his race. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu were dejected. The camel of the Prophet of Allah being beaten in a race, unprecedented. It was the clear winner all the time. This is the camel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them, Do not grieve. حَقٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَلَّا يَرْتَفِعَ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا وَضَعَ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it is incumbent upon Allah. Allah has taken it upon Himself as a duty that nothing of this dunya will rise except that it shall have its downfall. Even something associated with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how about empires? How about countries? Kings and emperors? How about systems? How about other people? How about entire nations? Allah has given us the examples. We know of many lost civilizations that lie in ruins, and those whose every trace has been obliterated from the face of the earth. They were mighty in strength. They were powerful in every way, economically, politically, and also militarily. But they came, they rose, and they fell. And time moved on. And the laws of Allah saw no change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And Allah will tell such people on Yawm al-Qiyamah that, did you take no heed? Did you not see the history of those who came before you? Were you not the same people? You would swear, أَوَلَمْ تَكُونَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَالٍ. Would you not swear? Were you not the same people who would swear that we will see no decline? Our fortunes, our economies, our strength, our power will see no decline whatsoever. Are you not the same people? Did you not learn and take heed from those who preceded you, who suffered the same fate of a sudden downfall? When it became clear to you how we punished them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished many nations before. And Allah azza wa jalla is one swift in His reckoning and in His punishment. وَضَرَبْنَا لَكُمُ الْأَمْثَالِ. And we struck examples and parables for you. وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرَهُمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims are being reminded of the plots of the kuffar. In all times, not only the plots of the Quraysh in Makkah al-Mukarramah, but the plots of the disbelievers who came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quraysh. Allah speaks of all of them, as well as those disbelievers and enemies of Allah and His messengers alayhim salatu wasalam, who came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who will continue to come till the day of reckoning. Allah says of all of them, وَقَدْ مَكَرُوا مَكْرَهُمْ. Indeed, they have conceived their plots. They have plotted their plots. وَعِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَكْرُهُمْ. And Allah is not unaware of their plots. Rather, their plots are with Allah. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. And their plots are not necessarily fragile or weak. Indeed, they are well conceived, meticulously thought out, efficiently executed, thoroughly planned, and brutally enforced. Yet, despite their complex and mighty nature, so mighty that Allah says, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Indeed, their plots are such that even mountains would move thereof. That mountains would move because of the severity and the complexity and the sheer force of their conspiracies and their plots. But Allah says in the next verse, فَلَا تَحْسَبْ. Despite all of this, فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلَهُ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ. Do not ever consider Allah to be one who will fail in His promise to His messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam. Never. Indeed, Allah is Almighty, one of retribution. Before I continue, how does this all fit in to what's happening at the moment? How does it fit in to enduring freedom, to justice, to infinite justice? What's happening now is no different to what happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's no different to what happened before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. As Surah Ibrahim mentions a number of prophets, mainly Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And as Allah speaks of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also and addresses him here, especially during his time in Makkah al-Mukarramah, because these verses were revealed in Makkah. Allah addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and through him the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and Allah comforts them and consoles them. And Allah reminds them of His promise, and that He is not unaware of what the tyrannical ones are doing. We can also take heed and learn a lesson. And we can also draw comfort and inspiration and strength from these very same verses. What's happening today is no different to what's been taking place for centuries. the fight between Allah's religion and those who oppose it. A battle between Allah and His enemies. A battle between justice and injustice, between truth and falsehood, between haqq and batil. And let there be no doubts. If we look around us today, Afghanistan is being bombed in the name of justice. And that's why the name of the operation was initially conceived as Infinite Justice. Some people raised some objections and the name was changed to Enduring Freedom. Why? Not to hurt the feelings of the Muslims. Because the term Infinite Justice was offensive to Muslims, the name was changed. And some people suggested to those in power that Infinite Justice is the exclusive prerogative of Allah. And no one else can administer Infinite Justice, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. True indeed, and it is Allah azza wa jal to whom belongs the prerogative of Infinite Justice. And as Allah tells us in these verses, Allah is not neglecting His justice. Allah will exercise it, but in His own time. The name was changed, and the bombing continued. A number of issues here. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam prophesied that a time will come before the day of reckoning when many things will happen, and these incidents, these events will serve as indicators of the day of reckoning. They will mark the imminent arrival of the final hour of judgment. There are many different signs, but just one of those signs, drawn from a number of different hadith, is as follows. Realities will become confused. Ideals will be subverted. Truths will be flipped and switched. People will deliberately confuse matters and switch over things. Names, well-sounding names and euphemisms will be given to everything that is evil. Within the Muslim Ummah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesies that there will arise those who will commit adultery but give it a different name. They will imbibe alcohol but they will give it a euphemistic name. They will consume usury and riba and they will give it a different name. Style will precede substance. Covering and packaging will be more important than the content. And as long as the name is good, the cover is good, the package is attractive, the title is well-sounding, then it will be acceptable regardless of the corrupt and false nature and content of those things. And even Muslims will suffer this. Roles will be reversed. Everything will become flipped and switched, turned around and confused, convoluted, conversed, and subverted. Roles will be reversed. In one famous hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the hadith of Jibreel, which I covered a few weeks ago in the Dars of Bukhari, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave three signs to the coming of the day of judgment, three major signs. Paraphrasing, children will become lords and masters of their parents. Rather than the parents being obeyed, loved and cherished and being cared for, and they being the masters, children will demand all attention. Children will be the ones who will demand the service and the khidmah of their parents and their obedience. The roles will be reversed. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to give another sign. Those who are extremely unworthy, undeserving and unfit, they will rule and rise to positions of power and authority. And people who are extremely poor, unknowing, they will suddenly come into wealth and compete with one another in the erection and the establishing of buildings. These are just some of the signs. And there are other signs as well, in which Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam speaks of the reversed and converted nature of things before Yawm al-Qiyamah, where things will be given false names, and everything will be reversed. Children will become masters of their parents. Those unworthy, undeserving, and unfit and unqualified will assume positions of responsibility and authority. Where suddenly the poor will become rich and the rich will become poor. So much so that in one hadith of Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a time will come upon the people, and the hour of judgment will not arrive until this phase first arrives, wherein fitna shall fall upon this ummah, كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ, like the successive dark parts of the night. They will come in rapid succession, one after the other. And then the Prophet ﷺ goes on to explain the severity of this fitna, that in the morning a believer will become a kafir, and in the evening and a believer will become a mu'min in the morning, and a kafir in the evening, and a kafir will become a kafir in the morning and a mu'min in the evening. This is the reality of the world at that time. Everything will become flipped, switched and confused. The rich will be considered poor, the poor rich. So they will become rich. The unworthy, unqualified, undeserving, unfit will assume positions of power. Children will become masters of their parents and not the other way around. Those who are pious, those who are honourable in their character, in their ideas, in their beliefs, in their ways, in their behaviour, they will be held in contempt. And those who should be held in contempt because of their evil, they will be raised and elevated to positions of glorification. They will be glorified and worshipped and revered. Everything will become switched. And there's one beautiful hadith that describes it. Imam Tabarani rahmatullahi alayhi relates in one of his ma'ajim from Ummu Salama, Ummu al-Mu'mineen, Ummu Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. She says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يُكَذَّبُ فِيهِ الصَّادِقُ وَيُصَدَّقُ فِيهِ الْكَاذِبُ وَيُخَوَّنُ فِيهِ الْأَمِينُ وَيُؤْتَمَنُ الْخَؤُونُ وَيَشْهَدُ الْمَرْءُ وَلَمْ يُسْتَشْهَدُ وَيَحْلِفُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يُسْتَحْلَفُ ويكون أسعد الناس بالدنيا لكع بن لكع لا يؤمن بالله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, a time will surely come upon the people wherein the honest will be considered a liar, and the liar will be considered truthful, and he will be believed. Where the trustworthy will be declared to be a traitor and untrustworthy. And a habitual untrustworthy person, a habitual traitor and untrustworthy person will be considered trustworthy. A man will give evidence even though he has not been requested to give evidence. And a man will swear even though it has not been requested of him that he takes an oath. And in the whole dunya, the most fortunate person who shall be regarded as being fortunate, the one who will be regarded as being the most fortunate and the best, he will be the low, the despicable, the son of the low and despicable. He will not believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That hadith beautifully describes what will happen. Everything will be reversed. The truthful will be considered liars, the honest dishonest, and those who are traitors by habit and nature will be considered and revered as being honest and trustworthy. Everything will be reversed, and things will be given beautiful names. And as long as the things are given beautiful names, they will be accepted. We live in that time. Going back to the topic of infinite justice, it was said that we will change the name infinite justice because we do not wish to hurt the feelings of Muslims. We live in that time in which we are witnessing the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alcohol will be imbibed under a different name. Riba will be consumed under a different name. Adultery will be committed under a different name. And tyranny will be committed under a different name. Everything will be reversed. Truth will become falsehood, falsehood truth. War means peace today, and peace means war. Fear and naked aggression is termed self-defense. Obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and faithfully adhering to the fundamentals of one's religion, of piety, of honesty, of taqwa, of righteousness, all of these things would be termed extremism. Total surrender, capitulation, and dogged submission to the whims and will of others will be considered moderation. The right to defend oneself will be considered terrorism. And terrorism by governments and states itself will be termed justice, self-defense. We live in that time. Infinite justice. That name is indeed offensive to Muslims, because infinite justice belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will exercise it. But what makes anyone think that Muslims are concerned only with the packaging, only with the wrapping, and only with the name? What followed the change of the name was even more offensive and remains so. Are we as Muslims, wherever we may be, are we to be fooled and deceived into thinking that, oh, as long as the name is changed, then it doesn't matter? 1 minute, stop. What did you call this operation? Infinite justice? Toot toot. A very offensive name to God. Change it. Oh, we're sorry, we will change it. We don't want to hurt the feelings of the Muslims. We change the name to Enduring Freedom, so that it's no longer offensive to our Muslim allies and to Muslims all over the world, because this isn't a war against Islam and the Muslims. Fine. Now you've changed the name, go ahead and bomb Afghanistan to smithereens. Go ahead and bomb the Muslims into oblivion. Go ahead and bomb a country which is probably the poorest in the whole world, which has no infrastructure of any kind, no roads, even the hospitals don't function, nothing. 8 million people, by the admission of non-Muslim charities themselves, are on the verge and on the brink of starvation. Go ahead and bomb. As long as you change the name, it doesn't matter, we Muslims will stand by you. What Muslims are those? What kind of Muslims are those who will stand up in defense of this terror just because the name has been changed? For such Muslims, let them ponder over the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Symbols are important, names are important, but more than any symbol or any cover and facade, more than any covering, packaging and wrapping, more than any name, it's the core and the inside that matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَعَمَالِكُمْ. Indeed, Allah does not look at your appearances, your figures and your wealth. Nay, Allah looks at your hearts and at your deeds. And as far as the names are concerned, that the name infinite justice is offensive to Allah, but the shedding of Muslim blood is not, ponder over the following words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi and Imam Ibn Majah in his Sunnah. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma relates that one day I saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam circumambulating, doing tawaf around the Kaaba. As he was performing tawaf around the Kaaba, Rasulullah alayhi salatu was salam was looking at the Kaaba and saying, مَا أَعْظَمَكِ وَمَا أَعْظَمَ حُرْمَتَكِ مَا أَطْيَبَكِ وَمَا أَطْيَبَ حُرْمَتَكِ. That, O Kaaba, O house of Allah, he was addressing the Kaaba, the house of Allah. What could be more important, what could be more symbolic than the Kaaba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Forget the name, forget any name, forget any other symbol or relic of religion. Think of the Kaaba, Allah's house upon the earth. The Qibla to which we face, every Muslim faces in his salah, without which his salah is invalid. The Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the holiest spot upon the earth. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam was performing tawaf around the Kaaba and looking at the Kaaba and saying, O Kaaba, how sweet are you? And how sweet is your fragrance? O Kaaba, how sacred are you? And how great is your sanctity? but by that Allah in whose hands rests the soul of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sanctity of one Muslim is greater in the sight of Allah than even you, O Ka'bah. The sanctity of one Muslim. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, his wealth, his blood and his honour. And that nothing untoward should be thought of him. That sanctity of one Muslim is greater in the sight of Allah than the sanctity of the Kaaba itself. In a hadith related by Imam Nasa'i in a Sunan, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, the destruction of the heavens and the earth is of a lesser consequence in the sight of Allah than the loss of one Muslim life. The destruction of the heavens and the earth is of a less consequence in the sight of Allah than the shedding of the blood of one innocent Muslim. Names, symbols, relics may be important to some extent, but never to this, that we change a name from infinite justice to enduring freedom or any other name, euphemize it, and then think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept, or that Allah will not avenge the blood of these innocent Muslims. And for those Muslims who think that it is okay, as long as the name is changed, they should realize that we live in that time when honesty is considered untrustworthy. When the liar is believed and the one who is honest and truthful is rejected, why should we Muslims fall into that trap? Today, Afghanistan is being invaded. This is naked aggression. There are questions raised by international lawyers all over the world, by leading and prominent QCs in this country, who are questioning the very legitimacy and the validity of this American-led aggression against Afghanistan by the standards of international law. Afghanistan has committed no crime. Afghanistan as a nation, as a country, and the Taliban as a government have committed no sin. I'm not saying they are sinless or blemishless, but they have committed no crime that warrants this kind of aggression and punishment. Their only crime that can be spoken of in this context is that they have refused to hand over someone who has yet to be proved guilty. That's all. And aren't there millions of people throughout the world who are in that position? Who may be accused, who may be loathed, who may be suspected, but they have yet to be proved guilty. And simply because of lack of evidence, as one leading QC in this country wrote, I believe in the Times a few weeks ago, he said, it's a sobering thought that more evidence is needed to prosecute a shoplifter than to start a war.